Yes.
Maharaj, question from Gupta Govardhan. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Maharaj Parikshit tells Shukadeva that he has only 7 days left before his death and asks Shukadeva for advice what to do. From this very question, Srimad Bhagavatam is being unfolded. So finally, what is the exact practical recommendation? And what personally could you, Maharaj, respond to the same question?
Well, today is the appearance of Shripad Shankaracharya, who's the incarnation of Shiva, tasked with a very peculiar seva, to delude people into embracing Mayavad philosophy. After Buddhism was established in India, Shankaracharya came and defeated Buddhism, but established his Mayavad. Then he's defeated by Ramanuja and Madhva, and this all made way for sort of a cycle to come for Mahaprabhu to express his philosophy, Achintya Bheda Bhed. But we're told in the Shastric language, it says, Mayavadam asach chastram prichtanam bodham uchite maiva kapitam devi kalo brahmana rupina. Shiva is talking to Devi, his consort, and he says, kalo brahmana rupina, in the Kali Yuga, I appear as the Brahmin Shankaracharya, and I preach Mayavad philosophy, which is bodham, prachtanam bodham, which is that it's similar to Buddhism, here called covered Buddhism. It's actually Buddhism, but presented in another way, which means that the ultimate goal is self-annihilation, self-extinction. Right? But with his emphasis on Brahma, Guru Maharaj said, he announces, there are so many things expressed in the Vedas and the Puranas and Upanishads, now I'm going to sum it up in half a sloka. I don't even require four lines or two of eight. I don't even require, 16. I don't even require that. I will sum it up now in a line. Brahma Satya Jagan Mitya. Brahma is the only truth. Jagan, this world, Mitya, it's all false. Everything here is false. And the only truth is Brahma. And all this, I have an individual identity, you have an individual identity, all false. Only one identity, Brahma. And when all these illusory individual identities dissolve, everything will just be Brahma. Right. But interestingly, Shankaracharya, or Shiva, he is expressing some lamentation on his part. That why do I get this seva? why couldn't I be doing something else? Just like Maya, we're told sometimes she feels some shame or shyness to come in front of the Lord, thinking like, my seva is deluding people. So Shankaracharya is saying, not only am I deluding people, but with the ultimate delusion, where they're ahung brahmasi, brahmasmi, tatvamasi, they're thinking that they've become God. And we see also in the pastimes of Shiva, he's saying, expressing some lamentation that one of his names is Ashutosh, means he's easily pleased. So many aspirants with envisioning a mundane outcome, they approach him. And because they've sacrificed for him as their Lord, he's bound to reciprocate. And this brings him in collision with Krishna in various passages, in the defense of his disciples or so-called followers. So at different times, he's lamenting about this, but actually it has something to do really with the position of Shiva, that only really, truly can he do this seva. Because we hear in the Brahma Sangita, Kshiram Yata Vishesha Yoga Santayati. No, I can't think. It's a comparison of milk, Vishnu like milk, Shiva like yogurt. Saying milk can be transformed into yogurt, but once it's become yogurt, cannot be, go back into the milk situation. So Shiva's position, he has his own unique tattva. Not Vishnu tattva, not Jiva tattva. Although sometimes it's said the sum total of the Jivas are within Shiva. Shiva impregnates the Jivas into the womb of Prakriti. Told by the glance of Mahavishnu towards the material energy, his glance personifies as Shambhu Shiva, and he's impregnating the Jivas into the material energy. So he has this function, this ability, on account of his innate position, to be between both of these worlds. The Vaikuntha world and Jara Jagat, the material world. And Srila Guru Maharaj points out actually three positions he can occupy: Bhogshiv, Tyagshiv, Bhaktashiv. Bhogshiv, Mayam tu Prakriti Vidyan, Mayinam tu Maheshwaram, the Lord of Maya. Master of Maya, servant of Vishnu, that's Bhaktashiv. But in between, Tyagshiv, above the material world, on the outskirts of Vaikuntha, that interim position. So that puts him in a, poised to deal with the material energy, who is his consort. So Mahadev Shiva himself makes reference to this appearance in the Kali Yuga as Shankaracharya. And because remember, Buddha is an incarnation of Krishna. It's one of Krishna's avatars. We need look no further than the dash avatars of Jayadev Goswami, given in Gita Govinda, one of the 10 principal avatars of Krishna. We have to remember that. Buddha is Krishna appearing in a particular way, charming, irresistibly charming and attractive, but also with some agenda. That the Vedas, they're being misread, abused, to the degree that they allow some there's allowance for meat consumption through sacrifice. But as often happens when people mindlessly follow some religious practice, in time it devolves into something else. So what was originally an allowance for meat consumption according to a particular time of month, sacrifice this animal in this way with these mantras, etc. Now there's just mass scale animal slaughter going on with people saying, if someone says, oh, this is objectionable, they say, no, it's given in the Vedas. The Vedas say it's okay, it's sanctioned there. And Buddha, one Buddha avatar, there are many, but comes and what is the essence of his philosophy? Ahimsa, ahimsa sarvabhutani. You should not commit violence to any living being. That's what sarvabhutani means. No violence to any living being under any circumstances. And if someone said, but what about the Vedas? They make allowance for animal sacrifice. Buddha is saying, forget the Vedas. Just listen to me. You forget all about Veda. Put Veda on the shelf. Forget about that. Just listen to what I have to say. He's Krishna. Means he's irresistibly charming, attractive. The way he appears, the way he speaks. He convinces everyone, like, forget Veda and just follow what I say. And I say, don't commit, even if it's said in the Vedas that you could do, forget that. This is new rules. No violence to any living being under any circumstances. And it's very successful, his avatar. All of India at that time becomes Buddhist. But it's part of a cycle. When Shankaracharya comes, he drives Buddhism beyond the borders of India, and his idea is, of course we must accept Vedas and what's given in the Vedas. So he drives Buddhism beyond the borders of India and reestablishes Veda culture, but with the emphasis on what is impersonal, not on the personal aspect, not overtly on the personality of Godhead, because of Buddhism, this tabula rasa, clean slate. He's bringing them back to Vedic culture, but with an impersonal influence. Then Ramanuja comes and reestablishes the Vishnu Bhakti, Madhva, and then from Madhva line, the bridge, Madhavendra Puri to Gaudiya Vaishnavism of Sri Chaitanya Dev. But one of the works, one thing we should understand about Shankaracharya, he lived in the world for 33 years only. And he took sannyas when he was 8. So how serious he is and how potent he is at 8 years old, and not some like sentimental kid taking, not like that. There's never been a sannyasi like him. Well, if we say Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Jati Rajaganai Parisevipuram, but still to this day, Adi Shankara, the original Shankaracharya, how much revered he is in India. So he took sannyas at the age of 8, seriously, gave up the world and everything, and at 8 years old became a sannyasi. Went to the Himalayas. He's studying deeply for maybe 4 years. And at the age of 12, he writes the Sharirika Bhasya, his commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, commentaries on the Upanishads, and other things. Then later in life, after he's some established, we're told in one incident that he, after having defeated some king, and everywhere he goes, no one can defeat him, no one can compete with him, neither defeat him. But there was one Rani, one queen, she wanted to hear his opinions on eroticism, on erotic potential. And he had no idea what this was. So he's saying, I can't enter this discussion. It's beyond what I conceive. So there was a king who was, it came known to him, there was some king dying nearby. So he entered his body for some time. So, and revived the king's life so he could experience erotic affairs, and then that would put him in a position to comment on it. But he's saying, knowing though from the scriptures, this illusion described, the most formidable illusion. Right? In the Bhagavatam, in one place it says, only Narayan Rishi, it's considered an incarnation of God, is free from the illusory sexual principle. So knowing that on the strength of scriptural understanding, that entering that position, maybe he won't be able to come out. It's so powerful. So he composed some slokas and gave to his disciples and told, if I'm lying there in a like near comatose condition, his own body, while he is animating the king, then he gave them what's become known as the Moha Mudgara Stotram, Maya Moha Mudgara Stotram, means the hammer for smashing illusion. So he said, then whisper these slokas into my ear, and upon hearing these slokas, the spell of Maya will break, and I'll come to consciousness. So in those slokas, they're very beautiful. Srila Gurudev liked them very much. He had one of them on the pillar right in front of his, where he would sit in Calcutta at his desk. And on the pillar right in front of him, he had this sloka printed out and posted there. I don't have it committed to heart, but I just remember the first line begins with Dina Jamino. And the reason I'm mentioning this one is in relation to this question about the Bhagavatam, because it actually parallels a verse in the Bhagavatam in the second canto where Sukadev Goswami is answering the questions of Parikshit Maharaj. And what it means is it's saying, just as the sun's rising every day and setting every day, the seasons are coming and changing, like we're noticing that now, we're in the throes of another seasonal change. Weather conditions, historicity, so whatever way you want to look at it, saying this is going on continuously in the world. And it parallels the Bhagavatam sloka that says, both with the rising and the setting of the sun, it's depleting the lifespan of those who do not spend their time engaged in Harikatha. Or what he told to Parikshit Maharaj, Tasmad Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishwaro Hari Srotavyas Kirtitavyas Cha Smartavyas Chechtata Bhayam. He said, if you want to overcome this fearfulness that's an anxiety, that's the outcome of identifying with the material body and as oneself and the karmic circumstance that you're enmeshed in, surrounded by, if you want to overcome the anxiety that of existence, right, living in the world of mortality, knowing that inevitably you will die, you have a short time here, awaken as a human being to seriously take up the path of liberation. Saying, then my advice to you, and not just for you who are about to, you know you're going to die in 7 days, everybody here has an expiration date. You're fortunate in that you know when yours is. Otherwise, Everyone is in the same situation. As Purikit Mara said, what is the duty of one in life specifically for one who is about to die? The answer is the same. This answer is the same for everyone because everyone is in this situation. As we hear what was expressed by Yudhisthira Maharaj, that what was it? Ahani, ahani, bhutani, gacchanti, jamalayam, shesha, stavram, ichchanti, kim ascharja, atakparam. When asked by the Lord of Death, what's the most astonishing thing in the world of the living? He said that everyone before us has died. Around us, everyone is dying. We ourselves certainly will die, but we're thinking we won't die. Kim ascharja. Ascharja means astonishing. What is more astonishing than that? We know this is inevitable. In the search for Sri Krishna, reality of the beautiful, Srila Guru Maharaj is saying, come and face, don't be a coward. It's cowardice not to deal with this. This inevitable problem here for everyone, mortality. Right? We're living in the mortal world. It's one of the great themes of art, right? Memento mori, right? Death reminders. Art, and by art we mean literature, etc. They deal with this theme. Although many different stories might be told, as I mentioned, the master of the short story we're told is Anton Chekhov. Right? He's considered, you know, by everyone, universally, as the master of the short story. And writers think a short story is harder to write than a novel because everything, there can be nothing extraneous in it. Everything has to, that's within it, has to be important, contribute to the overall story. And one such story that comes to mind is when, and, you know, he's, by telling a story that everyone can relate to, he's capturing the attention of his audience, and then there's going to be a reveal along one of the great themes of literature. He's not just telling you some useless information. It may seem trivial. That's to, how do you say, gain the confidence of the readers, right, to entice them, to seduce them into considering the reveal. So in this story, we're told a man in Petersburg of a certain age, he's at a party, there's a girl from a good family, and she's a good singer, and she's beautiful and everything, and he has some romantic designs on her. And she can understand that, and at this party, she slips a note to him that says, meet me in the graveyard at midnight. And that man goes home, but he's absorbed in thinking about this girl. But at the same time, he's thinking, I'm not such a fool. She's just playing with me, teasing me. Think I'm so foolish, I'm gonna go in the middle of a graveyard, everyone will laugh. It's not an idiot. That's how he was thinking around 10:30. By around 11:30, he was thinking, what if she actually goes and I don't show up? The girl of my dreams. So he tells his driver to get, you know, whatever they had, the horses and the, what do they call it, a hansom or a little, you know, chariot to take him to the cemetery. He arrives a little bit before midnight, sees all the gravestones with their names and date, birth date, deceased. And the girl, she doesn't come. So I think, doesn't Chekhov know how to tell a story? Why does everyone think he's a master of short story? This isn't even a good, you set up this whole thing and the girl doesn't even come. Left the readers with some anticipation, the girl's gonna be, they're gonna meet, and they don't meet. Why did everyone say he's so good at writing short stories? Because while the man is there, the girl did not come and the event did not happen. The man's walking amongst the graves and he sees the headstones and they have the names of the men and women, when they were born, when they died, and it starts occurring to him that they were like me and this girl. They also, they had their lives, their romantic aspirations, their hopes in life for coming together and achieving what they might. And it ended up here. Guru Maharaj liked to quote Gray's elegy from an English poet, the boast of heraldry, the pomp of power, all that beauty, all that wealth e'er gave, a way to light the inevitable hour, the paths of glory lead but to the grave. So I think wherever, whoever it was and whoever they were, and whatever they achieved, it all ends up here. The path of glory leads but to the grave. Chekhov's main lead character in this story, he's seeing the same thing. So it's memento mori, it's reminding him of impending mortality. It's one of the great themes of literature. And it's the beginning talk of Sukadeva Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj. So he's telling him, whether you're going to die in 7 days, you've got another moment to live, 7 days, 7 years, 70 years. My advice is the same. Srotavyas, kirtitavyas cha, smartavyas chetstatabhayam. Under all circumstances, hear about, remember, chant, glorify Krishna. Engage in Hari Kirtan. And the Bhagavatam, similar to the Shankara sloka, is saying, and if you don't do this, just that rising and setting of the sun, it's just, you know, another minus on your life column. Another day of minus. Shankaracharya also, then on the male-female side of the equation, one of his verses, it says, Nari stana barana nabhi desham drishtva maga mahavesham itam mangsha vishadi vikaram. He's saying the beauty, he mentions the woman here, but it's equally applicable. He's saying, the, for the breast obsessed and navel gazers, he's saying, it's mangsha vikar. Mangsha is the Sanskrit word for flesh or meat. He's saying, you know, even they have that old saying, beauty's only skin deep. And like Guru Maharaj said in one of his talks with the devotees, he was talking about science. He said, the scientists, they have ruined the moon. He said, the moon, which was the subject of romantic poetry and, you know, the honeymoon of the newly married. And he said, the scientists went there and they came back with the dust and the rocks and saying, you know, nothing to see here. He's saying, so these scientists, they spoiled the moon. He said, rather leave us with our imagination. We prefer that. And then he gave the example of female beauty. And he said, should we limit the female beauty, he said, to what science can discover on the dissection table? If they cut this and say, look, they peel back the skin and say, look, see what it is? Why do you get so excited? And I told that Jonathan Swift in his book, Gulliver's Travels, everyone's most familiar with Gulliver's travel to the land of the Lilliputians, where he's like a giant and they're all real tiny. But in the next tour, he goes to a land where he's very tiny and they're all giants. And he's gifted to one girl, he's given as a present, like, you know, on her 16th birthday or something. And she likes to play with him and put him on her chest, and he sees a breast that to him is like, it's like 6 meters wide, and, you know, and he's like, oh my God. And so the book is a, remember, he's through humor, he's saying, so those who are so fascinated by this, if you could see this from another perspective, you might be horrified. So we think, oh, that's Jonathan Swift. Interesting. Shankaracharya gives a similar version in his Moha Mudgara Stotram. He's saying, it's all this physical beauty is just the Mangsha Vikar, the transformation of flesh. So he's trying, you can see, it's called the hammer for smashing illusion. It's like, you know, a slap to the face to wake up and look at things beyond superficial appearance. Right? So many verses are given there. And each one of them, we see some parallel in the Bhagavad and other teachings. But what's most interesting, we have to say, is the first verse, which says, it's the first verse, but it's like also the conclusion. It's the summary of everything. Right? And more, and also in a line, I think, the proper balance to Brahma Satya Jagan Mitya. He says in his prayer, to the astonishment of everyone, Bhajagovindam, 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 Mudhamate. Mudha means ass. You asses. He's saying you should worship Govinda three times. Bhajagovinda, 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 Mudhamate. Sangprapte, Sangnihite, Nahi Nahi Rakshati, Dukarin Karane. He's talking about the, or he's making an appeal particularly to the scholarly section, because Dukarin is a real reference to Sanskrit and Sanskrit interpretation, and based on grammar and different ways of interpreting. And he's saying, you're stupid asses if you think this is going to help you at the end of life. Rather, you should worship Govinda. Just like Gurudev used to tell the story of the Sanskrit scholar who, the word for tiger is vyag. But one meaning of that is like who smells, like who engages, who smells. So this scholar, on the basis of his interpretation of this word, he was not afraid to approach the tigers, he said, because they're just smelling. No real danger there. And then the time came, and then he's being devoured by a tiger, and he says, oh yeah, I remember, there's another meaning. That they're not just smelling. Sometimes they're also like devouring. That's true, you know, and there's another level of understanding. So Shankaracharya is saying, you fools and asses, this is how you spend your time interpreting things. But this won't help you. Raksha means protection. This won't save you at the time of death. How should you direct yourself? Bhajagovinda, 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 Mudhamate. Just worship Govinda. So for all this speaking to the contrary, really this is his final advice. And we know, and Brihad Bhagavatamritam, when Narada is visiting Shiva on the advice of Brahma and offering so much praise to him, and Shiva, as a humble Vaishnava, Vaishnavaram Yata Shambhu, he's deflecting that praise and trying to present himself in another way. He, at one point, he says to Narada, you know, I'm such a shameful person. Do you know I wanted to be greater than the Lord? I expressed that aspiration. I wanted to be greater than the Lord. Such a shameful man I am. And Sanatana Goswami is explaining in his Tika, saying what he's really saying here is that the position of the devotee is supreme, and he only wants to be a devotee of the Lord. So he's saying, and my aspiration was to be greater than the Lord, to mislead people thinking, oh, such a horrible person, a shameful man. But really he's pointing to a more subtle truth about the power of devotion and the greatness of Krishna's devotees. So really, Guru Maharaj says in some places that a real devotee, they should not be concerned about their own advancement, their own progress, even within Krishna consciousness. Rather, they should offer them, surrender themselves to be used by the Lord for whatever his purpose is. That's Sharanagati. As long as there's some conception of gain, remuneration, positive outcome, there's some motive there. Same, but real Sharanagati, which surrender, which is the way to actually capture the Lord, which gives everything, Bhagavat Bhakti Tat Sarvam Itu Sri Javidarupi, Kainkarjam Krishna Padaika Shreyatam Sharanagati. As Guru Maharaj said, Sharanagati is cash in the hand. It's not a post-dated check or, you know, any such thing. It's cash in the hand. That surrender should be based upon just offering yourself to the Lord to be used as he wants to use you. When Guru Maharaj gave a commentary, like we just had Easter, right, a couple of weeks ago, correct? And part of that pastime is the betrayal of Christ by Judas. So Guru Maharaj gave his own interpretation. And he said, who can be entrusted with this sort of seva? The seva of betrayal. He said, only someone who's actually very dear and trustworthy to the Lord himself. You think, so after the betrayal, 30 pieces of silver, etc., Christ is going up to Gethsemane, Calvary. He's already been in Gethsemane. Anyway, when he's carrying the cross, and we're told at one point Judas is in the crowd, and they make eye contact. And Judas goes off and hangs himself. So Srila Guru Maharaj said, what was in that eye contact? He said, that Christ is appealing to Judas for forgiveness and saying, I used you as a betrayer in my pastimes, and your name will be black for all time to come. So forgive me for using you this way. And Guru Maharaj saying, and Judas saying, he's asking me for forgiveness. I who betrayed him, that touched him in such a way, he went off and hung himself. So even the role, the apparent role of opposition and the pastimes of the Lord can only be played by the qualified. Right? So, to this day, there's Shankaracharya, they're like the Shaivites and the Vaishnavites. And Shankaracharya, he's the undisputed guru of the opposition. So we recognize him. And also we know, is Mahadev Shiva playing a particular role? And when knowing that Gurudev liked this sloka so much, we requested it be put on the samadhi. And one of the old devotees from the mat came. And when he saw that sloka, he said to me, why has this been, he was a little upset. He said, why is this sloka being put here? Shankaracharya, you know, who's the leader of the opposition against the Vaishnavas. But two reasons. One is, first and foremost, Gurudev liked it. That's enough. But secondly is because he's Shankaracharya. He's one of the most famous Sampradayak gurus in India. You have Shankara, Ramanuja, Madhva, like that. So if the leader of the opposition is saying something that is in consonance with Vaishnavism or Krishna consciousness, then that's good. And why do you think that Gurudev liked this so much? So when the Vaishnavas read what he's given, it gives great joy to them because it's there because of interpretation. Sambandha Gyan allows for proper interpretation. Right? So when they read what he's about, they can extract from their Krishna conception proper. And knowing that Gurudev liked it so much and he's the famous Shankaracharya, you know, one sloka from him will be there also for the glory of Srila Govinda Maharaj. Hare Krishna. And what was that question originally about death, 7 days death? Read it again.
What was the exact practical recommendation given what is your personal response could be?
Of course, we think the same thing. That when one realizes in time, anything that's not directly Krishna consciousness or indirectly in support of Krishna consciousness is a waste of time and energy that can never be regained. Like that saying about, you know, all the money in the world cannot buy back a moment of time. So when time is wasted on things that, two things, either direct Krishna consciousness or indirectly in support of Krishna consciousness, it's a waste of time and energy. Any other question?
Another question from Gupta Govardhan. We all have our ups and downs. How to share your inspiration with others when you are high?
When you are high? I'm high on the Lord, the Most High. You mean when you're up? No, there's no plan for that. Devotees, they don't think of themselves as qualified. If you look at the pastimes, particularly of Mahaprabhu, all of his devotees are Mahabhagavatas of the highest order, they're eternal associates, everything. And very often when they're asked to express something, they begin almost invariably by saying that they're not qualified to say anything. that who are they? If Ananta Dev, with his innumerable heads, has been praising you since the beginning of time, what can I say? Or, my Lord, you alone are capable of properly praising yourself, as you do through the Vedas. And their praise always begins in some similar way to that. First, decrying their own lack of qualification. But at the same time, if the devotees, they just read something very nice, and automatically the tendency to express that and share with another arises. That's the way it should be. Spontaneous sharing, but not programmed. Right? You cannot plan, cannot force that. Guru Maharaj quotes Bhaktivinoda Thakur saying, it like lightning. And we know, you never know when lightning is going to strike, where lightning is going to strike. But when it does, everything momentarily becomes illumined, and then it goes back. And he's saying, it's like that. And in addition to that, he says, then if you try to force that, it goes, not only will it not appear, but it goes away. Because it should never be something from us as the initiators. Rather, we're interested in what comes down from the upper world through agency into this plane. That's proper. Right? Riv Amnaya, Amnaya Prahat Tattvam Harimiha Paramam Sarva Shakti Rasabdhim, revealed truth. Guru Maharaj makes an interesting point in discussing the word rishi. The Sanskrit word for creation is sarshti. And the rishis, who are the vehicles for shastric expression, it never says that they created something. Like they're the author in the sense of creator of a particular work. But he said that actually the very word rishi, based upon drishi, which means to see, like we say darshan, darshina. Darshan means seeing or a way of seeing. It's also the Vedic word for philosophy. Like sat darshan, because philosophy, it's a particular way of seeing. That's why we're saying the artist project is similar to the spiritual project. Agyana timarandasya gyananjana salakaya chaksuram militam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Giving a new way of seeing, removing the cataracts of acquired prejudice, acquired tendency, the cataracts of ignorance, and giving one a new perspective, a new way of seeing. That's the function of the rishi. So what they're seeing and observing in the conscious plane, it's that type of seeing, again, right? Then that concept, that mantra is passing through them from the upper world, through them into this plane. So we will say, well, we're not that. That's the great rishis. But we're not interested in anything less than that. So sometimes, by the grace, Guru and Vaishnav, Sadhu and Shastra, they leave some impression upon our hearts. And the heart expresses that impression and shares with others. It should be that sort of a transaction. Not the rote recitation of rudimentary principles, but some, we want a living thing, something with some life. Prana ache jar sehe tu prachar, Srila Saraswati Thakur. One who's got life, they can preach. One who preaches gets life. Bhaktya sanjataya bhaktya. One candle can light another candle. But so, someone may be in the very down position and some inspiration comes to them. That's also possible. At a point of abject hopelessness and desperation, some, if they remain faithful, then something comes. This is hinted at in the nutshell sloka of the Gita, that ends on Jnana Dipena Bhashvata. What's the beginning? Te sham evanu kampartam aham jnana jamtama. Nashayad bhavasto jnana dipena bhashvata. Jnana deep means the light of knowledge. So Guru Maharaj said, it can't mean gyan, what gyan ordinarily means. This is the Bhagavad Gita. It's about bhakti, devotion. So how can Krishna say, when my devotees are in a very, state of ignorance? I mean, one way you could look at it is like, they're in this state of, you know, abject ignorance and darkness, and at that time I give them the light of gyan. Really? Would Krishna do that? So Guru Maharaj said, then it can't mean jnana in the ordinary sense. What it means is, if we look at it on a higher level, when the devotees are in, what is the darkness or the difficult position for them? Separation from Krishna. And when it reaches a certain stage of intensity and heart necessity, he's saying, Krishna's saying, at that time, I reveal myself to them. I appear to them. So I think, well, that's the higher devotees. That's a high plane, the highest plane of aspiration. But it must have some relevance for devotees of all stages. So for the Bhaktivinod Thakur devotee, live, real-time, live-streaming Leela, the pastimes of Mahaprabhu of Krishna. But for the sincere, aspiring servitors, in their moment of down, darkness, despair, Krishna, if they're sincere, they don't go away, they don't seek another shelter, then Krishna reveals some aspect of himself to them to reassure them that they're going in the right direction. Durgam patastat kavyo vedanti, the spiritual path is plagued with obstacles to continue. He'll reveal something into the heart of the devotee that is divine, and on account of it, it's unmistakably divine. It gives them some reassurance, encouragement, and inspiration to continue. So even from that position. So there can be no stereotype about Krishna revelation. That, well, only in the up position, then in the down position. No, at any time. That's up to Krishna. Aho bakiyam stanakalakutam. We were just talking about putana. Does that sound like a good time for revelation? Approaching Krishna with murderous intent. But kim ascharja atakpa, no, what is it? Kamva dalum sharanam brajema. Saying, what a merciful, someone's approaching with murderous intentions and they get liberated, elevated to the mother position. What kind of Lord is Krishna? So no stereotype shall we have about when revelation will come, when it may not come. Because the Lord himself is saying in the Gita, I bring light in the darkness also, in that position as well. Ananya shchintayantamam yejana pariupasate. yoga kshemam vahamyaham, elsewhere where he says that whatever deficiency a devotee might have, apparently, I compensate that personally. So our position is fortunate by the grace of our Guru Varga, the Vaishnavas, the sadhus, and the revealed truth in the form of scriptures. As to collect an inheritance, the minimum requirement is to be alive. Right? If you're dead, you don't get anything. Minimum requirement is you're alive. So if we stay faithful and remain in the association of devotees, we'll be kept alive. And Krishna guarantees his protection, shelter, everything. Hare Krishna. Hari Haraya Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Hari Haraya Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Yadavaya Madhavaya Kesavaya Namaha. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudan. Giridhari Gopinath Madana Mohan. Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Sri Advaita Chandra. Garadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Rupa Sanatan Bhakta Raguna. Sri Jiva Gopala Bhata Dasa Raguna. Echai gochai kori charana bandhan. Jaha hoite vignanash abhista puran. Echai gochai jarmui tarodas. Tansabada padareno mora panchagras. Tandera charana sevi bhakta sanevas. Janame more iabilas. Echai gochai jabe braje koilo vas. Radha Krishna nitya lila korilo prakash. Anande bolo hari bhaja vrindavan. Sri Guru Vaishnava Pade Majayaman. Sri Guru Vaishnava Pad Padma Koriyas. Hari Nam Sankirtan Koe Narottamadas. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Gaura Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Gaura Hari Bo. Paramahansa Parivraja Kacharya Sattarasata Shri Srimad Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Srila Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Bhagawan Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai. Jai Saparikar Sri Sri Guru Guranga Gandharva Govinda Sundar Ju Ki Jai. Sri Giri Raj Govardhan Ki Jai. Sri Rupa Anuga Guru Varga Ki Jai. Nama Charja Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Navadeep Dham Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat Ki Jai. Sri Gupta Govardhan Ki Jai. Ganga Devi Jamuna Devi Tulsi Devi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Jai Shri Pad Shankara Charja Avirbhav Mahamahotsavatiti Ki Jai. Om Vishnupad Vishpavaranyas Release Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mata Charja Vrinda Ki Jai. Jai Srila Bhakti Bimala Avadut Maharaj Ki Jai. Seva Vrinda Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai. Nitai Go Premanande.